In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Praise God.
Our kind and heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are in your presence on this holy Sabbath day. We thank thee for the wisdom that we may have like our Savior, for direction that we may know thee, truly know thee, to be able to respect others, to humble ourselves before all people. For all our years, we are all equal in the sight of the living God. So we pray, Father, that we will truly be your examples here upon this earth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you turn to chapter 7 of John, chapter 7, we see here, it's my heading for this chapter is Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we do see that the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles at this time, which was the last of the six feast days that the Jews were to celebrate. And this was transpired in the fall of AD 30. And we know that just about 6 months later, in the spring of AD 31, that our Lord was crucified. This feast was to last 7 days, starting on the 15th day of the month, seventh month, probably October. There were two other feasts before that, on the first and on the eighth day. During these 7 days, the Jewish people were to live in booths made of branches, tree branches, that commemorate their forefathers' pilgrimage of 40 years of wandering. Then there was also an eighth day added to it, that was a Sabbath day. It was also to commemorate the ingathering of the harvest of the fields. It was called the Feast of Ingathering and also the Feast of Booths. This was one of the three feasts that all the men were obligated to become before the Lord. And also it was designed to mean much to the people as they view it in the light of Jesus Christ. This was to be the crowning one of all, to be joy and thanksgiving and happiness. On each of these seven days, the high priest would go to the pool of Siloam and take about a quart of water and put it in a golden pitcher, take it back to the altar where the water was poured upon the altar, upon the parts of the sacrifice where they were arranged. And when this water was poured out, the people were to sing and shout for joy doing that. The eighth day was called the great day of the feast. Now on this day, sacrifices were made and were offered, but there was no singing or no shouting on that day. This was known as a repentance day before the Lord. And another element was missing on that eighth day also, that there was no water poured out on the eighth day. It was against the backdrop of silence and symbolism that Jesus stood up and proclaimed himself to be the foundation of the living water. Our scripture reading for today, 37 and 38, which we've already read. When Jesus spoke, the thousands of people heard him, and every word of him instantly knew what he was trying to say to them. And so we see that they were there to be the light of the world there. We need to recognize the foundation of the living water in verses 37 and 38. In these two verses, Jesus proclaims himself to be the fountain where the living water is found. Ellen White says that Christ's words were the water of life, and we know that it is. The Holy Scriptures are the water of life to us. And throughout the New Testament, water for drinking is a symbol also of the Holy Spirit to be poured out. The Spirit of God comes to sinners and shows them the need of salvation in John chapter 16, verse 8. Let's turn there quickly to that. John chapter 16, verse 8. John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit applies the word of God in conviction. John 6:44. The Spirit baptizes new believers into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. The Spirit seals the believers. Ephesians 4:30. The Spirit of God fills the believers and uses them for the glory of God. Ephesians 5:18. And another thing with these feast days, they were intended to keep before the minds of the people the completed work of the Messiah, when his labors will be finished with a great joy and gladness will take place both in earth and in heaven. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 and 14. His labors will be rewarded. Isaiah 53, 11 and 12. His salvation gloriously triumphant. The Savior always wanted the people to know that all things in Moses and in the prophets were fulfilled in him. We see that through the sanctuary especially. All things were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we see that. And then the rewards of the fountain of living water. And if we partake of that water, there are rewards for us. It tells us in verse 38 there of chapter 7. Say 7 there. And there's several things that we can see in this verses. Salvation. The primary benefit of coming to Jesus by faith is being saved by God's grace. Sinners are condemned and doomed before the Lord. John 3:36. If we turn to that, John 3:36. We know that, yes, we are doomed before the Lord. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that that does not happen in our lives. John 3, what is it? Yeah, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Yes, we are condemned before the Lord. But however, when we come to Jesus as sinners, we all are sinners, and we receive him by faith, there can be a change in each one of our lives through the Holy Spirit, through that, and that we are delivered from death unto everlasting life, Romans 5:9 and John 5:24. Then there's satisfaction. You can see that there in verse 38, that it is from the belly that these rivers of living waters come from. And if they flow in the King James Version, other versions, it's the heart that it flows there. We know that the body or the belly is part of us that is never satisfied. I know that by experience myself. I never can satisfy my belly. We feel it, and soon after, it cries out for more. So we just know that we can try to fill it, but we never do that. And the same with our hearts and our minds for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus tells us that he will come to us, that he will give us satisfaction for our pressing needs that we have. And we all do have pressing needs. The word belly is used metaphorically for the inner being. So we know that we can truly change this inner being to be like Christ. Also strength. The waters never abates. It's always there and is constantly refreshing the lives of men and all believers. The living water gives us power. It gives us joy. It gives us hope in this world of chaos and darkness. And then service also from this living water. The Bible makes it clear that the water of life that is placed within us forms a mighty river that flows out and touches everyone around us if we use it properly. The Lord is saying that we will be sufficiently satisfied, that He will use us to reach others, to give them the glorious news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved and willingly by the hand of God. He will allow the water to be poured out, to have that living faith that we need to be representatives of Him. And like the dry desert, that we will be able to water the dry desert. Mark 1:17, I will make you fishers of men. Also receiving the fountain of living water in verse 37. And as we've seen there in verses 37 through 39, let's just read them again. Verses 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, it was stood there at that time there, but it's also talking about the great day of the feast at the last days at Christ's coming. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If a man, any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Christ, or that Jesus, was not yet glorified. And we know that at Pentecost, that Holy Spirit was poured out. And we know that it was also be poured out without measure in the very near future. And we that are Christ's children shall receive it. So we look and see that and pray that we will have that. These verses tell us of the benefits of coming to Jesus Christ. But it tells us how to come. Notice how we can receive the fountain of living water. Appetite and thirst. I've already talked about appetite. To have a conscious desire for something that is not in our possession. We know that living water is not in our possession. Eternal life that we can have through Jesus Christ. Before a person can be saved, we must have that sense in need of salvation. And we know that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. This involves the conviction of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We know that to do that. And when this awareness comes to each and every one of us, the sinner can turn to Jesus for salvation. If you are full of the world and sense no need of God, we know that you're going to be lost. You will not come to Him. Proverbs 27:7. But when our soul is empty and our heart is hungry, even the bitterness of conviction feels sweet to our path and to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference a thirsty soul means in our lives to have that thirst. Is your heart thirsty today? You long for peace in your heart. And you've been searching everywhere for things that simply do not and cannot satisfy us. And we probably all have at certain times been doing that, to know that. We know that we need to come to Jesus Christ today and every day. It will make all the difference in our lives. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Verse 37. We pray that we do. There's also approach. He tells us to come. Come to Him. Invites all of us who are thirsty to come to him, and that we will take and drink of that living water. We can look at several aspects of Christ's cry that day. An invitation. He says, come. In Isaiah 55, 1, our scripture meditation for today, and also in Revelation 22, 17. Availability. Any man can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, 37, and 1 John 5, 1. And then we have access to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is open to Jesus for every one of us and everyone that we can bring into contact with Jesus Christ. For us to open that door, help him open that door, to be there. And that well never runs dry. That living water is always there for us. We don't have to worry about drought like California is worrying about now. They're saying that California, by next year sometime, be running out of water in what they do. But yet they have one section of California where they are restricted from receiving any water because of some animal or insect that will run out, that's on the endangered species list. And they're having trouble there. But if we'll only come to him, he will demonstrate his great saving power in each one of our lives. See that? He loves you more than that we can ever know. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. If you turn to there, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We know that he can draw us unto him. All he requires for each one of us is that we come to him. Matthew 11, 28. Then there's appropriation to drink. We have to do it. If I am thirsty, or you are thirsty, you know that you can satisfy your thirst with drinking water. You can quench that only if you drink it, though. You can pour water into the glass, but if it won't do you any good if you don't take it to your lips and drink of it. It is only when you place a glass to your lips that you can receive that water that comes into your body that will receive its benefits. And it's the same way the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to drink his word. We have to drink the Lord Jesus Christ so that he is within us, that we're drinking that water that we can thirst and take care of the thirst that we have. To see that. It's the same way with Jesus, as I said. He's available to save you and I, each one of us, and all that there is in the world, if they would only turn to him. If we need to see our need, and we all have need. He longs to help each and every one of us to redeem us from sin and from our own despairing way that we live. But no one is saved if they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him into your heart and life, and I pray that each one of us does that. Revelation 3:20, John 3:16, John 6:47. So we're remembering, believing is not an attitude of the mind, it's an exercise of the heart. And I pray that we are having that believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that everything that the Word tells us. There's people that are out there that try and find mistakes here and say this is wrong or this or an error. But we know that there is no error here in this book, in this Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you stand in regard to salvation? Where do I stand in regard to salvation? We may be a church member. You may be faithful in attendance. You may be a visitor today. You may be someone who is considered by others to be wicked and beyond help. And I pray that that's not the case. Whatever our situation, rest assured that we leave this place, that we can come to Jesus Christ. He will save us by his power and give us everlasting life. And as I said before, for us to contemplate everlasting life, to live forever, what does it mean to us? Can we understand it today? We don't. We don't even know what heaven is like. We won't know what it's like to live with our Jesus until we receive him the day that he comes for his people. Whether from the grave or whether we're caught up alive to meet them in the air, to meet our Christ in the air, to be with them forever and ever. That's my prayer this morning, that each one of us will be there to that end. And all that is required of you and I is to come to him and to believe on him. John 7:38. So I pray this morning that we all will do that. We will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay aside everything that we have in our lives that's keeping away from Christ. Whether we've been in a church for one day, one year, or 30 or 40 years, we know that we need to come to our holy Christ every day. Yes, sir, gracious God, the showers of blessings that we may receive, the living water that we may receive from a well that never runs dry. Oh, Lord, help us truly to understand these words, to understand the calling that our Lord is coming to us, to come under him. And our sins will be forgiven. Help us truly this week, Father, that we may be your representative in our communities, to our family, to our loved ones, in our workplace, wherever we may be, Father, that we truly that we can have that humility, that humbleness that we need as we intermingle with others, especially with unbelievers, ones that do not look to the Lord Jesus Christ for repentance. But we pray, Father, that we may bring them knowledge to them, that they may make the opportunity to become sons and daughters of the living God. Help us truly, Father, that we are yours for eternity. We pray for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.